Kelly, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
I'm well. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Calgary. I think it's about 3 degrees. Yesterday, it was a beautiful and balmy 7 degrees yesterday afternoon. So I'm doing fantastic and looking forward to the game tonight.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because you might have trouble convincing Flames fans right now that the sun actually rises each day, given the way things are going. We've been talking about the Flames and the Canucks, and we'll get into both of them here. I'll just ask you this off the top in general. What's worse, Kelly, when you're playing well like Vancouver is, based on how it's been this season? The last 7 games have been strong, but there aren't results, or at least not enough of them coming. Or is it where Calgary has maybe had a goaltender steal a game or two, but they haven't looked good for about 6 games now? What's worse?
Yeah, you know, it's a combination of a bunch of different things. But I'll tell you this: sometimes when it's a one-off and you're beaten badly, like 7-1, like the Flames were on Saturday, sometimes that's easier to accept, that it's just a simple one bad game. Whereas if you play a stretch where you think you're playing quite well, but you're not getting rewarded, kind of like what the Canucks are going through, sometimes frustration can sink in, but trust me, it's how you manage your emotions in all these situations. And what I'm seeing right now with the Canucks is that they seem to be managing it quite well, in the sense that they're still continuing to play well. It's, 2 weeks now where they've really been playing hard, not getting rewarded, as you've mentioned. I've been listening to your show for a lot of the morning. But if you continue to believe, and most athletes do, most athletes really see the positive in things, you will finally get rewarded. You know, you cannot, though, allow any of that frustration to set in. That's what happened, certainly, with the Flames on Saturday. I will tell you this, though, although the score didn't show it, I thought the Flames, after they fell behind 2-1, I thought they played quite well. Koskinen, I thought, was really, really good. Now, you know, you're looking for little victories, there's no question about it. But having said that, it's an interesting team that I follow, the Flames. So here's what I'm going to go by. Even as a broadcaster, I'm going to put on my rose-colored glasses. You will remember, Scott, I believe it was 2018-19, about 10 games into the season, they got hammered at home 9-1 to Pittsburgh. And I remember driving home from that game thinking, oh my gosh, this team might not ever win another game this season. Of course, that's an exaggeration. But, and then they lost, I think, in overtime 2 nights later, I think, to Washington. And then they went on this remarkable run, and I believe they finished the year 25 games over 500. And virtually, it's the same team, same group of characters, although you could also say they've improved their lineup with some of the changes. So maybe this team can find that same sort of groove. I don't know. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe I'm just reaching. But that's what I kind of expect from this team. Or at least those are my expectations, because I've seen it before from them.
Okay, we'll stay with the Flames then, and we'll get to the Canucks here in just a minute. I heard Brad Treliving on Friday. I'm sure you did as well. He was fired up. He was somewhat flummoxed. He sounded like a guy who needed to see something happen, and then he sees a dud on Friday night. I'm with you, Kelly. I saw a lot more life from the Flames, despite getting throttled on the scoreboard on Saturday, than I did on Friday night. Is the most encouraging thing you saw David Riddick's play in those 2 games? Is it Matthew Tkachuk being engaged and starting to be the emotional barometer of this team again? What was it?
I think David Riddick, to me, I think that was a strong message that he sent, that even in this different role that he finds himself in, that he's going to be as determined and focused as we've seen him in the past. I'll tell you this. I am not surprised that Brad Treliving went off on Friday. And behind the scenes on Wednesday, during the game, I always leave the press box and go for a little walk. And I took a glance over at the suite where Brad watches the games. And he was pacing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, the entire, both intermissions. And I thought, okay, this guy's really agitated right now, and I don't blame him. And so when he went off on Friday, that was certainly no surprise to me.
Here's the hard part for Treliving or Jim Benning or any other Canadian GM that finds its team in the ditch for a little bit and maybe wanting to throw a little bit of a curveball in there and change things up, spark the room. What can you really do, Kelly, if you want to change the coach? You're going to have to fill within, most likely. If you want to change players, you're looking to your Canadian counterparts for a change, or else you're waiting 2 to 3 weeks to get a player into the lineup. What can you do?
Well, number one, I think it's all on the players. I don't think it has anything to do with the managing. I don't think it has anything to do with the coaching. I think it's all on the players, and they get that. They have all underachieved. We've heard Johnny Gaudreau say it, I think, 2 or 3 times in the last week that other than Markstrom, everybody else is underachieved. I might disagree with that a little bit. I think Chris Tanev has played really, really well. Noah Hanifin's played really well. At times, Michael Backlund's played really well. Nonetheless, the message is sent by Johnny Gaudreau, arguably their best player, that everybody needs to be a lot better. And I just think it's a really simple thing for the Flames to turn around. It's all about urgency to me. And you talk about all these other things, and yeah, everything's important, you know, details, all that kind of stuff. But there's nothing more important than urgency, and that's to start a game. And all you have to do is think of the simple things. What do you do when you're really on? Well, you're moving your feet, you're engaged, you're hitting a few people, you're doing all the things that really get you mentally involved in a game. And so that's really simple for me. That's all I would stress tonight before the game. And just wake up from your afternoon nap in a bit of a bad mood, come prepared, and be ready to put in the work.
Kelly, talk about the starts. There are people listening to this right now who say, well, the starts are on the coaches. They have to get them motivated and ready to play the game. As a former player, how do you respond to that?
I totally disagree with that. I took great pride in not needing motivation from any external source. Certainly a coach can do certain things to motivate you, but it is your professional duty to find motivation yourself. And sometimes, in fact, oftentimes, you have to manufacture it. You know, it just doesn't naturally happen all the time, especially when you're a veteran. You've played a lot of games. And sometimes the games don't feel quite as special to you, and so you have to do little things to motivate yourself. But no, I completely disregard that it's not up to a coach. And you're a really poor professional if you're looking for motivation from a coach.
Agree with that wholeheartedly. Kelly Rudy joining us this morning. He of Hockey Night in Canada, Flames color analyst as well on the Scott Rintoul Show. We flip over to Vancouver. Motivation has not been a problem of late. No one can question the effort, the resolve of the Vancouver Canucks, and yet 2-3-2 in the last 7 games. Is it difficult when you're going through a stretch like that where you feel like the process is strong but the results are not there to... Is it difficult not to question whether there's enough in the room or on the roster to get the job done?
Not usually. And I say not usually simply because I have been in that situation also where, unfortunately, you let it slip. And then next thing you know, you're like, okay, what just happened? And now you look at the standings and you're like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be, you know, next to impossible. But most often, every time I've gone through a stretch like this where – you really believe in yourself and you're not getting rewarded. Most often when you continue to play the same way and believe in your teammates, you usually do go on a pretty good run and put yourself back in a good situation. So that's kind of what I'm expecting with the Canucks. I have not seen any sign in the last 2 weeks where they were, you know, before that you could definitely sense from their body language that they're frustrated. I don't get that right now.
Do you look at the roster and do you see enough there for this team to get going on a run where it reels off a winning streak?
Yes, I do. I do believe in that roster. And I just think that given the circumstances, that's a team that can go on a run. There's no question to me, yes.
When you look at the goaltending this year, I don't think anyone would say the goaltending's been bad, but sometimes it hasn't been timely enough for the Vancouver Canucks. What's your evaluation of the position trying to be filled with Markstrom's absence?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the best word, timely. That's one of the key things for a goaltender. Sometimes you're going to be in a groove and you're going to be rock solid and you're going to steal games or steal points. And other times you're going to be off just a little bit, but you recognize that you need to make a timely save. It might not even be a spectacular save. You just know that it's a really important save at the right time, and just haven't quite had enough of those from Demko and from Holtby. But knowing their past, like Gemko is a guy that there's no question he's going to be a really good goalie, and Holtby's had those experiences. I think he can draw that upon himself again. But right now, more than ever, I think they need, two things. First of all, they need one of those two guys to start stealing some points, and then at the other time when you're just hanging in there, you need a timely save.
At the other end of the ice, Elias Pettersson, a couple of goals last night. He was the epitome of persistence. He just kept shooting away despite stick breaks, despite posts. He finally gets his second goal of the game, his first multi-goal game of the season. Brock Besser has been going well for most of this year. JT Miller still hasn't found that groove. What problem do you see when you look at JT Miller this year compared to the impactful player we saw all of last season?
Yeah, well, I think that one of the things that you look at JT Miller, he brings energy every night. You know, you don't look at him and go, well, he's not playing with the same enthusiasm that he had last year. You have to admit, everything went well for him last year, right? So it's almost like it's hard to compare the season he had last year from his past. You know, he was always a really good player that, like I said, played with enthusiasm, brought that energy every night, and I still see that he's not being rewarded. Yeah, you know, I think that there's a reason for that. Maybe last year was almost too magical for him. It just, everything went well.
We always joke in Canada that when a team's on the power play and the fans yell shoot, that it's one of the more obnoxious things out there. That of course, the players know to shoot. But Miller maybe is the epitome of that. Kelly, he was third on the Canucks in shots last year. He had a career high in goals. This year, I know he's played three fewer games than some of his teammates. He is 12th on the Vancouver Canucks in shots. It feels like he's overthinking it. It seems like he's not doing the simplest thing possible, which is shoot the puck when you have an opportunity. How do you get a player out of his own head like that?
Well, you could ask the previous 5,000 guys that ever played in the National Hockey League the same question, right? When you're feeling it, it just feels like it's an automatic that you're going to shoot. And when you're not, why is it that you don't shoot? Because you've got a great shot and you've proven that you can score. And it's a funny thing, right? And I've been around the game since 1980 when I was drafted. It was a thing then. It was a thing 40 years before I was drafted. It's still a thing now that you just can't convince a guy to continue to shoot when he just doesn't feel that confidence. And, I mean, you look at some of the best players that have ever played. They've all been in that situation where – why is it that you refuse to shoot? And that's a question nobody can answer, because it's been around for 100 years, and that's what Miller's going through, and somebody else 2 weeks will be going through.
It's not a problem for Austin Matthews right now. He is tearing it up. 18 goals in the 18 games he's played, 19 overall for the Leafs. When you watch Austin Matthews right now, what do you see?
I see a supremely confident guy that truly believes that he has a chance to score every single shot. And he does it with authority, right? He's not right now in a situation where he's shooting the puck and hoping it's going in. He's shooting the puck knowing that it has a really good chance. And there's a difference, and there's a complete difference. And I can tell you, when I was in practice with guys that were really in a groove, I knew the difference as well. Some guys were sort of putting the puck at the net to me in practice, and I would go up to him and say, you know, you have no chance of scoring. Like, if you think that you're even going to have a chance of scoring me in practice, you're fooling yourself, and that will translate in a game. You've got to absolutely put everything into it in practice, because that'll give you good habits for a game, and then you'll do the same in a game. And that's what Matthews is doing, right? I bet if you went and watched the Leafs practice, which we can't do, but you would see that he is ripping it at Freddie Anderson every single time. He's not lofting it. He's not, you know, with 70% putting the effort in. And that is the difference. It's always been the difference to me. When you practice that way, it usually translates to good habits in the game. And I bet if you were going to watch Matthews in practice, he's doing everything right. And that's always been the case again in this game.
Goal scorers go on runs, but he has been so consistent this year, Kelly. I just don't see any reason to think it's going to slow down anytime soon, do you?
I don't, not at all. I don't know if you watch our pregame show on Saturday, Scott, but Ron, Kevin, and I interviewed him, And you could see a guy that's really feeling confident about himself. Like there's a look in his eye that you can just tell that separates athletes when they're really feeling it and when they're doubting themselves just a little bit. And that look in his eye, that kind of smirk when we talked about his release and what goes through his mind. And so right now I do believe he has a strong feeling that he is going to get 50-50, even though it's going to be such a difficult task in the shortened season. But I do believe he thinks he has the ability to do it.
We do this every Monday. We ask who was the best player in Canada last week. He and McDavid are headlining the competition. Scheifele and Marner are also on the board. If you had to vote, who had a better week last week, Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid?
I'm going to say McDavid. I think, and I said it on Saturday night, I think he's, even for himself, he's at a different level. It's almost as though I feel every single time he's on the ice that he has a chance to create something special. And I think most people would agree watching him this year. He is at a different level. He's always played at an extremely high level, but what he's doing this year is remarkably special.
Boy, that was a show that he put on Saturday night. And I love the point you guys made, and we've echoed it here this morning, the fact that it felt like he saw what Matthews did, went out and said, all right, I'm going to show you. I love that.
Oh, yeah. I was lucky enough to play with Gretzky for 8 years, and I can tell you there were moments leading up to games versus Pittsburgh that you knew as a teammate, you better be ready. There was nothing spoken. It's just that, hey, this is a really special matchup we have coming into this game. I'll give you an example. We played Friday night in Winnipeg. We beat the Jets. We played again, I think, Sunday afternoon in Winnipeg, and we got hammered like 7-2 or something. And we were playing Tuesday in Pittsburgh. So I was the goalie Sunday afternoon. I played both games. But we're leaving the building Sunday afternoon, going to the bus, and Wayne made a point of coming over to me and said something, you okay? And he wanted to make sure I had already erased that game just a few 45 minutes ago, and I was looking forward to Tuesday's matchup versus Pittsburgh because of he and Mario. So players like that, like Matthews and McDavid, they're fully aware of what the other guy's doing, and you would be foolish to think that, no, they don't really put that much credence in what the other guy's doing. Yes, they do. Special players, they definitely keep an eye on what's happening around the league, and they also keep an eye on upcoming matchups, and we have that this coming Saturday with those two.
Yeah, we certainly do. It hasn't been fun for the opposing players or fan bases, but, man, it's been a show to watch those two this season. Kelly, great stuff. Have a great call this afternoon between the Leafs and the Flames. Thank you very much for your time today.
My pleasure, Scott. Talk soon, bud.